First of all, it is an absolute pleasure to be able to be here with you and to share some thoughts. There are a lot of people in this room that I feel close to and that I have relationships with, and it is a great privilege and pleasure to be able to be with you in this kind of a forum. I was asked to focus a bit more on something practical as far as it goes with the world of chinuch, so I'm trying to talk about something that is less with the classic pedagogy, less with the actual delivery in the chabura, but hopefully an important part of our summer, whether we are a madrich or not a madrich, a very important, what I believe is critical element of chinuch, and one that if I am reading the writing on the wall appropriately, is only going to become more and more part of the job of rabbis, mechanchim, etc. going forward. And that is, I want to speak a lot about today, one-on-one conversations that we have with guys. It's not like the pre-summer, like the abuse awareness session. That's not what I'm doing. I'm talking about using those sessions as effectively as possible. I want to make 3 points as a hakdama, and then try to give 8 different tips as far as maximizing those kinds of conversations. So hopefully it can be practical. If some of these things you either are aware of intuitively or you already do, that is wonderful. If you disagree with anything I say, that is also totally fine. It's all good. But we're talking 3 things. Number one, it's important to recognize, and some of us may be increasingly aware of this, the extent to which chinuch is a separate and independent chachma. The way that a person is going to be a mechanech, so obviously I have to know a lot of Torah knowledge, but Torah knowledge on its own is not going to be positioning me to be the best kind of mechanech possible. There's a separate chachma about how to be mechanech well. There's a separate kind of wisdom. How to present information in a way which is more engaging or more clear. How to work with talmidim who are on different levels and all sitting in front of you. How to have different kinds of conversations. How to move people and help them get more motivated, help them be able to maintain a certain kind of consistency. All of that is very, very important. Much of that you will not come across just in classic learning Gemara, B'ian, or B'kiyas. And therefore, it's important that we invest, I believe, sometime now in that chachma. And this session in particular is one where you often have the opportunity for people that hopefully have what to share. The second thing is shifting a bit more to our topic. We all communicate with people in many, many different ways. And that's chashuv and important. Good relationships, are often relationships that exist on multiple levels. If you take, as an example, a guy who's in your chabura, let's get very specific. So I'm there during the chabura slot, and that's one level of interaction that I have with him. If that's the only level of interaction I have with him, I would argue you are certainly not positioning yourself to be as impactful as possible. But there are many other ways that we communicate. We communicate sometimes, as we've got today, through real one-on-one conversations, a real sit-down. I asked my 10th grade year today how many of them have had a one-on-one, real sit-down conversation with their madrif, and there were, I would say, over 70%. Had that, which was, I think, very impressive, because I would wager money that the remaining 30% also had one-on-one conversations that just they were not as on top of or aware of what was really going on. But we have it in chabura in larger settings. We have it in one-on-one settings. We have it often in just hanging out late at night. All of those things in the chadar ochel, for sitting there with them, all of those things ultimately do contribute to my relationship with someone, and therefore I have to think about my relationship on multiple levels, and what am I accomplishing in session X, and what am I accomplishing in session Y. And if we're very much locked in to one particular slot, we feel a lot of pressure, and if we realize we have more opportunities, there's a whole lot that we could do. The third thing I would say by way of hakdama, before we get really practical, you may want in conversations and in chaburas to highlight a variety of important ideas. There may be things that you realize in the guys you're working with. You want to help them a little bit. You want to point something out to them. It is important. High school age people in particular are all over hypocrisy. There are few things that they like doing as much as pointing out their parents' hypocrisy, their rebbeim's hypocrisy, and anyone else around them that's trying to push something. They love noting that element of you again just being somewhat of a hypocrite. I would maintain 2 things. Number one, if you're going to try to encourage or push things, the best thing to do is to make sure that you yourself are good at it and that you are modeling it. It's a form of communication, not through words, but through actions. If you're going to be encouraging a guy, he's struggling a little bit during morning Seder, but you're never really in the base medrash during morning Seder, it's going to be a harder sell. It's going to be a harder sell. So to make sure that we're aware of that's important. I happen to be a believer, and maybe I'm in the minority on this. If you are hypocritical, just call yourself out on it. That's fine. I do it all the time. I have a hard time sometimes getting to Minyan on time in the morning. I have a bunch of kids, got to get them out in the morning. It's somewhat challenging. And sometimes I can't get to Minyan on time. Does that mean I can never talk to my shir about the mashivas of getting to Minyan on time? I don't think so. But I think for it to be more impactful, it's okay for me to say, guys, I struggle, not the cliche lines I have like a strong aversion to. Not even if I'm just talking to myself, you know, that's also worthwhile. Those lines I have a hard time handling. But to say something, you know, not those words where, again, I can't do it. But to say something like, listen, I am a hypocrite. I may not be here tomorrow morning at 7:10 in the morning or 7:30, whatever time it may be. I'm not able to do... I still think it is objectively very, very important. I will do my best. I ask you to do your best. It's fine. What we don't want to do is straight up be hypocritical. They will be all over that. So whatever message, ideas, whatever you can also back up. Whatever you are able to back up through, again, implicit means. My God. Will definitely be helpful. Let's talk about some tips right now. I want to talk about 8 different things that I think you could do to have good one-on-one conversations. Again, I'm a believer, when you have issues, be it issues in your chavura with particular guys, what you may very much want to do is not deal with that in a group setting, but deal with that on an individual basis. You pull a guy over afterwards, we talk tonight, things like that, you can accomplish a lot one-on-one with the AT that you cannot accomplish in a group setting. But the first prerequisite for any kind of conversation, Ladati, the context of any conversation has to be positive. He has to know and believe that you actually like him. If he thinks that the reason why you're talking to him is because you dislike him, not it was hard for me when you were behaving inappropriately during Chabura, not that. When he gets the feeling that you do not actually like him, if he gets the feeling like he has no positive context with you, that is always a recipe for conversations to go poorly. That's why, point number 2, we do not have to feel like all conversations we have with people need to be serious. I am a huge believer in the value of conversations with people. There's nothing more than stam batala. They can be incredibly, incredibly helpful as far as cultivating relationships and often setting the stage for you to then have a more serious conversation, / him feeling more comfortable around you and wanting to have a conversation with you. I know as an example that if there's a guy that I am schmoozing with for 15 minutes about nothingness, we're talking about basketball leagues, and I'm not from the Rebbeim here who care that much about them. So we're talking about that for, you know, 15 minutes, utter and complete nothingness. That conversation is still very valuable for 2 reasons. Number 1, it will set me up, not in a manipulative way, but it will set me up to be able to then have a better conversation with him later. And it will make him feel more comfortable to bring something up with me. Why is he going to want to bring it up with me if he thinks I don't like him that much? Why is he going to want to bring it up to me if he thinks that it's all that I have negative feelings towards him? The Vort, I'll tell you, I'm trying to avoid marmakomos. It's a beautiful insight. I heard it the first time ever, I think, in this room from Rabbi Akiva Block, for those who know him. Rabbi Cook had an amazingly beautiful insight in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. Talmid Sha'aron HaKohen, our Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Oev Esabrios from Karban LaTorah. We love people and we bring them close to the Torah. Rabbi Tzviyut pointed out what the Mishnah does not say. The Mishnah does not say, Oev Esabrios, Kidei LaKarban LaTorah. We are not manipulating them. We are not liking them so that we can then follow up with a conversation to get them to keep more mitzvos. You have to actually have a positive relationship with them. Done. Oev Esabrios. Once you are Oev Esabrios, once he likes you and you like him, you can then get away with saying more And the context is there for you now have much more of a push. If we have a good relationship and he's acting out a bit during Chabura, it's a very different conversation when we sit down together. He knows I like him and I know he likes me. And therefore we can have the conversation and it can be something which is significantly smoother. Let me know when it's 107. Point number one, we mentioned the importance of the conversation of building a positive relationship. And two, the not serious conversations are priceless. Priceless, Ladati. I'm a tremendous believer in that. Number three, we want to be very cautious of anything that has smacks of manipulation. What are examples of things that resemble manipulation? I don't want to call this full-blown manipulation, but things that, for me, make me feel very uncomfortable. Most of these I assume no one's doing, but I'll give a couple examples. Number one, we can never make our relationship with the guy we're talking to contingent on his behavior. Part of what he has to know is that you're there for him no matter what. Whether he's struggling or not struggling, you will always be there for him. If he feels like he's only in on a conversation with you is if he behaves a certain way, I think you've already done something to the relationship to make it more challenging. He's less likely to be open with you. If I say, the only way I'm going to be able to have that half hour of chavrus with you is if you... I don't love those things. Sometimes we're setting ourselves up in a little bit of a tricky spot. The second thing, you've got to be very careful making them feel uncomfortable. Certain kinds of questions that can make them feel uncomfortable, I think you have to be very, very cautious with in those conversations. It's not manipulation, it's setting the stage for something where you're taking advantage of a power imbalance. All the people in this room, when they talk to a... My wife here, she could give like an actual definition of it. But all the people, when we talk to people, we are talking to them with a power differential. You are the staff member and they are the kid. And therefore, we communicate with them. Everything we say is in the context of that difference. Which means that you have to be extra careful. To become a Rebbe, it's all the more so true. Not to take advantage of that or make them at all feel uncomfortable, because sometimes they're already, maybe the first time in their lives, they've had a real sit-down, meaningful conversation one-on-one with someone like you who's older. So give them some space and don't go somewhere where they don't want to go. Point number three. One, positive. They have to like you. You have to actually like them. Two, I'm sitting down with them. Doesn't have to be serious. I can hang out with them. I can do a lot of different things. All that provides the context for guys to want to have a conversation with you. If I can give an example, one of the proudest moments of my chinuch life. I was giving chaburas in the lowest senior shiur in MTA. Back in the day especially, that was, I think the word would be gishmak in an unfathomable way. All I would do was I would walk in. No, that was bad. All I would do is I would walk in and we would hang out for a half hour a week. It was really just me and them hanging out. I got a phone call once at 12:30 in the morning that four of those guys were in a car together, had done some things that were, I would say, on the very shady list. Eventually ended with them having an accident with a parked car not so far from where they lived, which was not a good thing. And they were calling me at 12:30 to have the conversation. They needed to call someone older they could talk to. I had never before had a serious conversation with them. But they knew that I liked them. They knew I was not going to judge them in a way where they were going to feel bad. They knew that there was someone there they could call. That is something which is incredibly important. The positive context, positive relationship, not always serious, is often setting the stage for something which will be much more effective. But don't take advantage of it when they start coming towards you. Avoid anything with the manipulative approach. Avoid anything that's, we'll leave it at that. Four, confrontation. Many of us have a deep fear of confrontation. And in conversation, I would be, again, using an example because it's probably practical. I have two guys in my chabura that take out their phones fairly often. Is that an issue at all? Guys take out their phones? Okay. What's a better example? Is that a bad example? Okay. I think there's two ways of doing it. You could, we'll think about it in a second, have a sit down with the whole shir, with the whole chabura. You could also pick it off one by one. Rabbi Rothwax from TNEC, I want him to speak, I think, here, about getting a shul to get rid of the Kiddush Club. And part of that was a lot of smaller group. You want more or done? Okay. Everybody's there? A lot of that was like picking off smaller groups and work. The one-on-one conversation is a way to bring it up. But I'm nervous bringing it up. I'm cautious bringing it up. I don't want that kind of level of confrontation. So I would say I'll give you a couple ways around the confrontation in a second. What? Okay, Sierra. Hi, Sierra. Okay. Hopefully they'll be okay. They're Israeli and they're tough. In general, I think it is important to learn how to be comfortable with conversations that are, by their nature, a little bit confrontational. I think that's fine. If you make it into a fight, that's where you cross the line. If a guy in my shir here did not come in the morning, I don't think it's bad for me to say, I don't have to be serious and say, what's wrong with you? You weren't able to get up in the morning. But I can say to him, oh, we missed you this morning. It's somewhat confrontational. I'm starting something, saying something. If you don't say anything, I think you have lost it. If you don't say anything, it's not going to be one day he's missing. It's going to be two, 3, and 4 days that he's missing. And it's totally appropriate and fine to have that kind of a conversation. I'll go a little bit more. I said to a guy this morning, he said, oh, yeah, I totally overslept that they wanted to come. And I said back to him, I don't believe you. I said it with a smile, and he laughed, and I laughed. And it was a cute moment that built relationships. And he knows, and I know, that I was right, and he was right. It was true. Sorry, I was right, and he was wrong. That was what happened. But if you do it, again, I didn't say it as intensely as I said it now. It was in a joking kind of a way. You know, oh, Rabbi, I really wanted to come today. I don't believe you. You know, like, come on. You know, even that, that's fine. It's not super confrontational, because I'm walking away after that, and I'm saying it with a smile, and he gets the fact that I get it. He knows that I get it. And therefore, when he misses the next day, he's not going to say, I really wanted to come, but whatever. And then the next day, I'm setting it up, we can have a real conversation right now. Because now I can say, like, what's going on in the morning? He's not going to say, oh, I really want to, but da 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 da. And if he does, there's a much better chance what he's saying is actually true. You've got to be careful how to do it, but there are elements of things that are not as confrontational, but please don't be scared initiating conversations with people. Just tread carefully. What I would point out the next thing is that one thing you could do, especially point number 5, if you're scared of confrontation, I think that there are always 3 options. You can sometimes avoid. I don't want to say anything at all. There are things that I choose to avoid. I think some of you are Talmidim Rabbi Beitler. I think Rabbi Beitler once said that if there are guys sleeping in your shir, so only wake them up if you want them to be awake. Sometimes you want to avoid the issue. He fell asleep, he's very disruptive. Maybe I want to keep on sleeping. Sometimes you can know what issues. I don't want to bring up every single issue, certainly at all times. I may sit in my chabura and I may have 6 or 7 different things going on. I have a phone challenge in my chabura. I have a coming in late challenge in my chabura. I have 2 guys who are talking to each other the whole time in my chabura. I got to pick them off one at a time. Don't go for some issues. It's okay to avoid, at least for now. But there's 2 other ways to go. There's direct confrontational. I think you have this problem. That is much more intense. And not all high school kids are ready for that. One thing you can do is give them a Pesach. You can give them an opening and see, do they want to talk about it? I'll give you an example. It's a sentence one, but I hope it's okay. There are people, and if I'm revealing this to you right now, I apologize. You should keep on living your pure and common life. There are people that use their cell phones for not holy purposes. It has been known to happen. There are people that lack filters on their phones. How's this? A friend of mine who's a Rebbe here last year borrowed a phone. Just a guy in the shir. Can I borrow your phone for a second? Borrowed the phone, opened the browser, and straight up opened to whatever it's open to. The key thing is, it's something which is real, and I think we know it. I don't think with the average 16-year-old, let's say I have a guy in my chabura or my shir, he's up till 5:30 in the morning every night, all his roommates are asleep, and I'm koshesh that that's part of the issue a little bit. I don't think that is a direct conversation, unless I am very, very close with someone, that I'm going to have. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to give him a Pesach. I'm going to give him an opening to see, is he interested in that issue or not? So I may say to him as follows. I'll give you a couple different ways of doing it. I may say to him, listen, there are a lot of different reasons why people are up at night. What's going on with you? That's a smaller level. I can say, I can tell you, in my experience, I've dealt with a wide variety of issues. People have had to stay up all night. I've dealt with people who have sleeping issues. I've dealt with people who are very, very homesick. I've dealt with people who spend a bit too much time on their phone. I've dealt with this. Any of those that are your issues. I'm beginning the Pesach. If he wants to go there, so now he has the opportunity to go there. But I'm not going to go as directly with him because I don't know if that's okay. I don't know if that's too close for comfort. I don't know if he's comfortable enough with me or if that's necessarily my role. That's also why I believe on a giving mussar level, that's where a lot of the meat takes place in one-on-one conversations. If you are Moshe Weinberger or you are Chief Rabbi Lord Sachs, you can move people by speaking to a room of 500 and you're going to move them. A lot of us, the things we do in larger groups, are setups for what can happen afterwards in the one-on-one conversations and real cultivation of relationships. Sometimes you can give the Pesach not in a one-on-one conversation, but in a group setting. I have a friend who's a Rebbe about the cell phone issue who will give a schmooze every year about filters. And after that schmooze, 6 or 7 guys will come over and say, Rebbe, can we have a conversation? Sometimes on a Musar level, this is just a Stamineza, let's say I'm having a problem in my Chabura, not everything has to be direct confrontation. I remember Rabbi Lam once saying that Rabbi Lam is underrated as, I think he's rated appropriately, but those that know, like one of the greatest darshanim of the second half of the 20th century. Rabbi Lam was, the mussar he gave was biting at times. Rabbi Lam once described, one of the ways that you can give mussar in an effective way, don't, if I go straight at you, then the defense mechanisms go off right away. If I'm saying something which is not directly at you, people are less defensive, and people are much more open to listening. So sometimes, I will say, let's say as an example, that in my shir and kolo, I don't know because I'm not here that much, and honestly, I don't have that many one-on-one conversations with guys here, because I'm not here that for that much time, and that's an incredible challenge I have in trying to be effective, is the lack of one-on-one time I get with guys. But let's say there's a problem with guys showing up late in the morning to Shacharis. I can either decide I want that to be a real set conversation. Guys, there's a real problem in our Chabura, and we're right now going to go try and fix it. And that's one way which is much more direct. You can also give an example. And I'm learning whatever I'm learning. I'm learning mitzvos metet. I'm learning mitzvos trikos kavana. And I want an example. And my example could be, imagine you have a couple guys, and they never wake up on time in the morning. And every day, their madrich is like, just so, what's going on? You don't know. They wander into shul, and they put on their tefillin while they're half sleeping, with no kavan at all. Are they yotze or not yotze? If the guys are a little bit intelligent, they're going to pick up on the fact, like, what you're saying and what you're not saying. If the guys are not as intelligent, the guys, or they want something, you can get a little bit more direct than that. I'll say things that are above, you know, I'll cross lines sometimes. As an example, the definition, obviously, of any functioning human being is being up at Shacharis by 8 o'clock. If a person's not a functioning human being, and they're not waking up by 8 o'clock, so they want to shul with that. That's a little bit too much. But it's still not direct confrontation. I'm not saying, Ezra, you're messed up. Sometimes we can develop, I'm coming close to that, but not. When we talk about conversations, some are direct, and there's different models of indirect where people will not be as confrontational, and often those things will lead to a one-on-one conversation afterwards. Next, sandwich method. This is like basics of teaching for parent-teacher conferences. It's good to know if you're talking to a kid about something. if I'm having a one-on-one conversation with someone, and it's not stam a hopping conversation, and it's not stam laying groundwork for something else, not stam hanging out. I actually want in this conversation to bring something up. I want to bring up the cell phones during chaburas. So what am I going to say to him? Sandwich method. Good, bad, good. You always begin with good and you end with good. These guys all want relationships. The world of positive psychology, there's nothing as effective as a relationship with you which is positive. It doesn't mean you can never say anything which has hints of negative. We got to sandwich it. Michael, I love having you in Chabura. I loved the question that you asked today. It was really fantastic. I think it would even be better, even use those words sometimes, it would even be better, or it's very hard for me to focus when you're on your phone a lot. So if you can, and then you end also with something positive. Because I really think we're doing such great things in the Chabura, and your participation is so wonderful. And what you contribute socially to the group is fantastic. But you never want the conversation to be negative. The conversation begins positive and ends positive. You can bring up something, if you can bring it up in a positive way, even better. But in those conversations, one thing I want. Next is I find a common mistake. I have to one for you? Okay. Be practical. I think it's a common mistake in Musar. Rav Wolbe and Taylor Bays of Ali Shore in the way beginning notes this. One of the great things that Bali Musar gave us was the understanding that talking about an issue is not necessarily enough at all. Just talking about, guys, it's a real problem with phones in a one-on-one setting, that's fine. I don't think that is positioning him to be as successful as possible. Or, guys, it's really chaval, I'm not waking up for shachar, it's 8 o'clock. So what, you're going to give a shmooze about chashivas hatfilah? Great, do it. The area which needs to be there, I believe, is a conversation in practical terms of what should it look like. And here, I believe, the conversation, when it becomes collaborative, is a much better conversation. If the guy says, you know what, you're right, I do want to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. The conversation's not over now. The conversation is beginning now. Now the question is, okay, so what's going on in the morning that we can do differently so that tomorrow we'll be able to make it at 8 o'clock? My roommates are off early at night. Okay, now let's address the underlying issue. If a guy, the average 15 or 16, there's a chance. I don't know if this is true, I use it as an example. If my phone is in my pocket and it buzzes, I may have a harder time not looking. So I don't know if the conversation with the guy I want to have is just, don't look at your phone during Chabura, when he's feeling it buzz all the time, knowing that the WhatsApp group from like Yad B'Yad is going crazy, and he's sitting here not knowing because he's stuck learning with you. That's going to be very hard. So part of the practical conversation in those is, what can we do to make it as easy as possible? If the guy's not there yet, so you got to be very sensitive. Not every guy is where we want him to be. But if he is there, I can explain to him why he can get some buy-in, why for our Chabura it's not effective when he's there on his phone all the time. He was like 112. Mm-hmm. So then I'm able to then have at least a conversation about practical things. Many, this is Rabobi's critique, if you want to just like understand it better. Rabobi's critique of Musar Shmuzin is Musar Shmuzin about Chashivas HaTfilah rarely improve people's davening. Musar Shmuzin about Hasmada rarely long-term improve people's Hasmada. Musar Shmuzin with practical things in Avodas Hashem for how I can get there, that does have the potential for long-term impact. There's a limit to how many times, based on the Hisorus from your conversation, his phone is going to be buzzing in his pocket, he's not going to look. It's going to be very, very hard for him. So think about in practical terms, what that conversation is going to look like. The last practical tip I would say, we have a positive relationship, we're in a very, very good place. I'm not manipulating him at all, I'm not making him feel uncomfortable, I'm not challenging him, I'm not judging him. He knows I like him no matter what. My relationship with him and my feelings towards him are there whether he's great or not. And that point is, I got to emphasize that again. If he thinks you're only going to like the Rebbeim who give off the feeling that they are judgmental, guys are not open with them. No one's going to have a conversation with you about how he hasn't put on tefillin in 3 months if he thinks you're judging him too much as a result. He has to feel like you like him You care about him, and you're there for him. I don't sanction everything he does, but he knows no matter what, I'm there for him and like him. I want to then bring up an issue or let him bring up an issue. How are things going? It's great. The more these conversations are collaborative, the better it is. It's not a one-on-one muster schmooze. How do you think things are going? These questions are all Pesach questions. What part of your day is the best part of your day? That's easy. What part of your day is the most challenging part of your day? A lot of guys here, the answer is going to be? Morning shiur. Great. That's the beginning of a conversation. You want morning shiur? Then you say to him, oh yeah? What's going on in morning shiur? Pesach. What's he going to do with that? If you bring in something real, I can then say, do you want that to improve or are you happy with where it's at? If he says I'm good with where it's at, maybe for now that's all I'm at. He didn't jump through that wall. If I say to him, if he said, I wish I was into it a little bit more, so then I could say, okay, do you think a conversation with your Rebbe would be helpful? Do you think you'd have a conversation? What about it do you like? What do you not like? Is the schedule too intense for you? Would it be better if you had a different chavrusa? But those are all ways, I think, of initiating it. Let me say the last point, which I believe is a critically important one, and I hope these things are helpful. The follow-up from those conversations. If you bring up with them a conversation about chakras, I believe you have to follow up with them. It shows that you care. You will often need to tweak some of the practical points. If he's at chakras the next day, you got to go over to him and say, Shkai if I'm being there the next day. If he didn't take out his cell phone, that was a long conversation, but a quick one. You got to say, great job. I think I'm home today. I so much appreciate that. That was really fantastic. If he is going to, if he messed up, it's okay to the father is also. I saw it was hard today. What was going on? That's it. It's not necessarily our job. You can bring in Rabbi Leibowitz or Rabbi Kamenetsky if you want someone right better to like really go down on them. The guy says, honestly, I don't care and don't want to get up in the morning. So I don't know if that's your cell right now that you have to make that cell. But if the guy says, yeah, it was hard for me because my roommate, da da da, so it's a conversation to have. A guy might share overslept on Thursday, overslept on Sunday. He's in a part of his caravan with Madrid to miss him. Whatever. If you follow up with him the second day, often you will see, but he's almost testing you. How serious were you about this point? If you follow up about it, there's a lot more there. I want to make sure that we can end in time for Mincha. But again, I believe so much of our work in Chinuch takes place in front of large groups. We do a lot of speaking to a Chabura, we speak to Shi'urim. So much of Chinuch is taking place in large groups. A lot of it, I remember hearing once Rabbi Usher Brander from L.A. make the point here, that a lot of his drasha in shul is really just the hechsher from to follow up with people afterwards. The one-on-one follow-up, the da'ati, especially in this generation when people want a lot of close relationships, people want to feel good and feel positive, if you are there for them, you're making them feel good about themselves, you're contributing in a positive way to their own self-image, you can then help them a little bit. You can make points to them. The sandwich method, what I say in the beginning, what I say in the end, not straight at it. The follow-up, the practical conversation, making it collaborative, hearing what they want also. All of those things. The I say this for me. I think a very significant part of my job has nothing. I say this during the year. Here in Leicester, because I don't have the opportunity that much. But a significant part of my job has nothing to do with shiurim that I give. And even muster shmuzin that I give, which are more direct, most of the time are just openings. They're openings to have conversations afterwards. They're openings to be able to sit one-on-one with guys. Doesn't have to be formal. It can be as you're walking down to Chabur with a guy. You just have everything going. It's all about cultivating positive relationships, letting him know that you're always there for him, being present and being available. Hopefully, again, it's just an important component. Shkoya, guys, have a wonderful day.
Whose recordings are these?
Mostly.